It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast of Times of Refreshing Simplicity of Eden Ministry, Torso. We're glad that you're with us. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible also says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So on this 20th of June, we welcome you. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace. At this time,
let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you on this day, given us an opportunity to be able to recognize your creation and to allow us to do another day of service to you. We ask that your spirit will come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Bless us always to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
it's a
we're talking about the flood, part two, and we're having worship and wellness because there are elements of both areas or both sections of both topics, worship and wellness, in these verses that we'll be reading. So we'll be reading Genesis, the rest of Genesis 6, Genesis 7, and we'll take a break most likely, and then we'll go to Genesis 8 and 9. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this day. Bless us as we worship you. We pray that the lessons from the flood, Lord, will be lessons that we will understand and clearly see as we come together to worship you during our baptismal class. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we are going to pick it up at Genesis chapter 6. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Brothers and sisters, God gives hints here. God is interested in destroying sin. He's not interested in destroying sinners. The earth is filled with violence. I will destroy them with the earth. So God will destroy sin. If you attach yourself to it, you will be destroyed too. But he's trying to save us. That's the whole purpose of the plan of redemption, that as the earth is destroyed and everything will be returned back to perfect bliss, that we would choose a Savior who has chosen to save us from our sin, which gives us pardon, power, and presence. The three P's. You get your sins forgiven, you get power over and victory over sin, and you get to be in the presence of God, which is future. The first two can happen today, my friends, and we just have to believe. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou put shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all the flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Brothers and sisters, pitch was a combination generally of some type of dirt substance that be like a muddy substance, maybe mixed in with some hay type substance. Let me tell you something. Even though, and this is beautiful, Noah had to build the ark to the specific direction, following the specific directions of God. He had to build it up to specs. He had to have all the specifications just right. And it took 120 years. However, it was the Lord that saved that ark. Brothers and sisters, the earth has never seen a storm. You've been scared of a tornado, a flood, a tsunami. None of these things can compare to what happened at the flood. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. Remember, we learned that the Bible says when God created the heavens and the earth, that there was waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. So the earth had a band of water that completely circled the earth, as well as we have the oceans and seas. And so when the flood came, all that water imploded onto the earth, and the earth opened up, swallowed up. It was earthquake, tsunami, tornado-like atmosphere, hurricane-like atmospheres all at one time. The earth has never seen anything like that, brothers and sisters. That's why God had to let it be known that he would never do that again, so he put a rainbow. We'll talk about all that, and we'll read about all of that, but I'm just helping you understand. As we live for God, we are to do what we can do. We are to be obedient as God has opened the door for us to be obedient. We are to follow his will in every specification. then we depend on Him. So a true Christian walk prays as though when we have a true Christian walk, we pray as though everything depends on God. But then we go to work doing what He said as though everything depends on our faithfulness. So a lot of times we just want God to do everything. We just want Him to help us in every way. But we are not diligent in doing the things that God has told us to do. And as a result of that, brothers and sisters, we end up with less of the blessings that we really would like to have. Okay? So I just wanted to share that. So this big boat, and by the way, they've discovered the place of the ark, and it was huge. It was probably the size of some of our cruise ships. I'm not sure about that, but I've seen the place, and you can still see the shape of the ark as it has deteriorated, but it's over in Turkey, okay? It was huge, brothers and sisters. And the bottom line is it had a big door, which we can't see. We can just see the top of it, you know, kind of its shape kind of silhouetted in the ground still. But the bottom line is, after all these years, almost 6,000 years. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that it had a door, it had a window, and it had three stories, okay? Huge boat. Plenty to help to save a lot of people, but very few people went on the ark. And so the Bible tells us, as we read yesterday, as in the days that were before the flood, and what men would be doing, eating, drinking, in Matthew 24, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just living to please selfish desires, passions, which generally are in the area of appetite or some other substance like drugs and passion, sexual passion. That's what's going on in the world today. That's what the LGBT movement's all about, brothers and sisters. Just free sex, just whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, with whoever you want to do it. We don't have to follow God's plan. We just do whatever we want to do, feel good, do as much as we want, so on and so forth. So the world is just like it was in the days of Noah, and that's why we know Jesus is coming. But then it says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. We're reading verse 17. To destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Brothers and sisters, this is just one more verse that teaches that God's covenant is everlasting. It is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. And they had to accept the plan of redemption that God had set forth, which was to say that the seed, which Galatians 3:16 says is Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent. That's Jesus, my brothers and sisters. They were simply God added some things. They had to build altars, things of this nature, because they didn't have regular church buildings. But the salvation plan was always the same, is always the same. Why would God need to save them a different way? Why would He save them by works? If it's bad for us to be saved by works, why would he let them be saved by works? If we don't get joy and peace by righteousness by works, why would they get joy and peace by righteousness by works? Brothers and sisters, you've been lied to. The old covenant didn't do away. When the old covenant was done away with, it didn't do away with the Sabbath. That's the only reason why people try to put the old covenant with the Ten Commandments and say but now we're in the new covenant because we're in a different situation. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is no different situation. The old covenant was created by the promises that man made to say, I'm going to obey in my own strength. God never asked us to do that. That's not the new covenant. The new covenant is He would put His law in our own heart. Now, some people say, we don't have to keep the law. The law is in our heart. That is the most, I hate to say it, forgive me if you think I'm being too harsh, that's the most stupid thing. Okay, I don't have to be faithful to my wife. I just need to love her in my heart, okay? She doesn't have to be faithful to me. She just needs to love me in her heart, okay? What is that? That's stupid. If you love somebody with your heart, you're going to be faithful. It's the heart that is the of issue, brothers and sisters. People aren't serving God from the heart. We have all kinds of things that we do, things that we make up, and we can even be preaching and teaching in present truth, brothers and sisters, and we can be lacking in some of our approach or in our walk with God. We're not always like Jesus. That song says, be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Are you treating people? You know, I like to say we can mistreat people by omission and commission. You can mistreat somebody by overtly just hitting them, destroying their reputation, whatever, but you can mistreat people by ignoring them and acting like they don't exist and refusing their appeals and so on and so forth. That is sin, brothers and sisters, and we are thinking we're like Jesus because we're preaching all around the world, or we're doing house-to-house ministry, or we're feeding the poor. You're not treating your brothers and sisters correctly, brothers and sisters. And so God is teaching us that we've got to be righteous. We've got to be like Jesus at all times. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. So brothers and sisters, the pigs, the possums, the lizards, the llamas, the things that were unclean, and we know what they are because of Deuteronomy, Numbers 14. Deuteronomy 11. I forgot that there's two chapters, one in Numbers and one is Deuteronomy, but I forgot what they are. I know one's Deuteronomy 14, okay? Numbers 28 and Deuteronomy 14? But anyway, the bottom line, brothers and sisters, it tells you, if you go to those chapters, it tells you that the clean animals have a split hoof and they chew the cud, which means like a cow. You'll see them just constantly chewing. They have more than one stomach, and so they have a system of regurgitation where they keep processing the food, and it'll be put back in their mouth, and they'll chew it up again and swallow it, and there's this regurgitation process. That's called chewing the cud. So an animal that does not chew the cud is not clean. God knew which animals he was going to make that were less toxic to our bodies, and so he called them the clean animals. The animals that would scavenge the earth and clean up the waste and eat the excrement and just keep the earth cleaner, they had more toxic flesh, and we weren't supposed to eat them. So here you have in Genesis, although people are eating pork, God says the clean ones were to be kept alive. Well, if you eat mama pig, then you're not keeping it alive. It says of every clean thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. So that means, brothers and sisters, that they weren't supposed to eat the ones that went in two by two. The ones that went in two by two only were not supposed to be eaten. They were to keep them alive. Now watch this. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for thee and for them. So if I'm supposed to bring some pork in there, pigs in there, and I'm supposed to bring food for the pigs can't be the food, okay? So the reason why people don't want to study this is because the law hadn't been given on Sinai yet, yet God had already separated clean from unclean animals. And so that would totally dismiss this theory that this restriction against eating pork was part of God's law that was done away with at the cross and now we're free. No, the law hadn't even been given yet. This was hundreds of years, many hundreds of years, thousands possibly, before the law was given on Sinai, yet God had already separated clean from unclean animals, you see? And so it is wrong to eat pork, brothers and sisters. It is a sin to eat pork, but we're going to see that God did make a difference, and there were some clean animals. Let's read Genesis chapter 7 now. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Watch this. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So there you have it. Why don't preachers tell you about Genesis chapter 7, verse 2? Because it would show long before there was ever a law given at Sinai and the other laws that God had already separated clean from unclean, and you could eat some of the cattle as long as you saved a mama and a daddy, okay? You could eat some of the cattle as long as you saved a mama and a daddy. That's why you had 14 of them. They were in group. They were in groups of seven, the male and his female. So that's how they were able to survive, brothers and sisters. You can't grow a garden in a flood. So God allowed clean animals to come in to help keep them alive, particularly after they would get out of the ark. It would take time to plant and harvest. And they had a system of sacrifice, so they would sacrifice the clean animals as well. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. See, Noah was obedient. Friends, we have to be obedient in order to be saved, but obedience does not save. What we're saved by the grace of Christ. But what is grace? Grace. Let me read it. Let's jump over real quickly, brothers and sisters, to Titus, the book of Titus, after 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So grace teaches us? Oh, teaching us that denying ungodliness. What? I don't have to. I'm supposed to deny ungodliness? And worldly lust. We're supposed to deny worldly lust. We should live soberly. I'm supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Oh, I'm supposed to live godly? Grace teaches me that? In this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Brothers and sisters, grace is not just you being forgiven for the mess you did yesterday. Grace is giving you power to teach you not to do what you did yesterday. That's grace. So when you do what you did yesterday and you keep doing it, you are basically saying, I reject grace. No one will be saved if they reject grace. So yes, you are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. But grace is not just forgiveness. It is the power, the teaching, and the wherewithal, the tools that God gives you to live a holy life and deny ungodliness and worldly lust, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's grace, brothers and sisters, that gives you the power to live a victorious life. It is not just your forgiveness of sin. Now, that's something new to a lot of you, but this is important. Noah, we're going to learn, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We read that, I believe, already. So grace has always been. That's why you've been lied to when God says, when people teach you, you were saved a different way after Jesus died. No, you were not. They just had a difference. The only difference is the things that pointed forward to Christ's coming were done away with or pointed forward to some aspect of Christ's ministry. Since Christ died and he was already there, he's already done it, we don't have to keep those laws, those requirements. Going on, verse 4 of chapter 7, "For yet 7 days and I will cause rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the commandment, all the Lord commanded. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives into the ark because of the flood waters of the flood, because of the waters of the flood. And of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowl, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah." So even though there were groups of seven of them, they still went in two by two, male and female. You see, brothers and sisters, God was showing us even nature. So when you go male and male, and you go female and female, when you have all, they have all kind of stuff. They have female, male and male, or male and female and female, you know, threesomes and all kinds of stuff. That's against nature, brothers and sisters. And you can just look at the flood and you can see that it's against nature. And that is the kind of stuff that caused the flood to come because of the immorality that the people were practicing. And that level of immorality is back. That's why we know Jesus is coming, brothers and sisters. It's now laws put in place, federal laws put in place that seek to force us to accept the perversion of sexuality in our nation. And it's going around the world, brothers and sisters. They say when the United States sneezes, the world catches a cold, okay? So the bottom line is that we need to understand that this is important. God loves homosexual people. If you are homosexual, you have accepted a perverted lifestyle, just like a person that's fornicating. They're with the opposite sex. It is still a perverted lifestyle, brothers and sisters, and it will kill you. It does not bring holiness and happiness to your life. It does not. And so God designed that privilege be granted at marriage and when you've made a lifelong commitment to somebody, brothers and sisters. And God knew, and therefore it demoralizes society. It does not help society. All right, let's read on. It says, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of foul and everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now keep in mind, God doesn't waste words. It was the second month, the 17th day of the month, that it started to rain. Okay. Now, they had a different calendar, but if we used our calendar, that would be February 17th, okay? Keep that in mind because it was the second month, the 17th day of the month, that it started to rain. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. There were eight that were saved, and 2 Peter tells us that. But you can count them. You got Noah and his wife, Shem and his wife, Ham and his wife, and Japheth and his wife. That's eight. Eight were saved of all the earth, my friends. They and every beast after his kind, and all cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him up, shut him in. Brothers and sisters, you see the plan of God. You see how God specified genders even in nature, and he wants us to follow his plan. And when they didn't, and when we don't, there's destruction coming. Because God's going to destroy sin. If we cling to it, that's why we get destroyed. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up in the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters, so let me pause. When I said they were, okay, so it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But keep in mind, it started raining in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Okay, just keep that in mind. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under that whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowls of heaven and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So it started the second month, the 17th day of the month, and the waters were upon the earth. That means it was flooded for 150 days. Keep that in mind. We're going to pause at this time, and we're going to come back after our torso song, and we'll be picking up chapters 8 and 9. Lord, bless us as we take our break and we come back to learn more about the flood and what lessons we can learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, we'll take a break with the torso song at this time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain? disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Praise the Lord. All right, brothers and sisters, Father in heaven, as we continue our study, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, remember, we learned some things earlier today, that the rain started on the second month, the 17th day of the month. If our calendar was their calendar, that would be February 17th. We also learned that the waters prevailed, meaning that they were in a flood-like state before the waters dried up, for 150 days. Keep that in mind. Now we're reading Genesis chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, in the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Okay? So if that was our calendar, that would be July 17th. So it started raining, what would be February 17th, and it dried up July 17th. And the Bible says that was 150 days. The only way that can happen is if each month was a 30-day month. The reason why that's important is because when you start studying certain Bible prophecies, you need to be able to know that a month was 30 days, okay? We can learn that from the flood. So just keep that in mind. From Genesis chapter 7, we learned that the rain started in the second month, the 17th day of the month, which would be like February 17th, and it dried up. That means it only rained 40 days and 40 nights, but that totally flooded. Because remember, the Bible says there was water above the firmament. That's not just the droplets in the clouds. There was water, it says, above the firmament. The firmament is the atmosphere. So that tells us this was a storm like no other, brothers and sisters. And so all this water just collapsed upon the earth. The earth opened up, water came from under the earth. It was horrible. It was terrible. It Satan feared for his life in the flood, brothers and sisters. And so But we have these wonderful lessons, and so you learn a little about how to calculate some time prophecies that will come later in our study by the fact that we know that a month was 30 days, okay? All right. The ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And so some people say, oh, the Bible isn't true because Mount Ararat doesn't have the flood. The Bible said mountains of Ararat. It was a group of mountains, and they did find the ark in the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. And the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now, I am not sure. I think this is all within that 150 days, but just kind of given the detail of how Noah did it. If this is after that, that's fine too. Maybe God was saying it, the waters dropped to a point where you could see some of the earth, some of the higher hills. I'm not sure. But it does say that they prevailed on the earth 150 days. All right, let's read on. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, the 17th, in the second month, the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar of the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So part of the reason why they would bring these animals in that were clean is that they would have animals to sacrifice unto the Lord. Until Jesus died on the cross, animals were used to remind them that a Savior was coming. And as those animals died, they were reminded that a Savior would have to die for their sin. And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, whilst the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you, shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So God is basically saying, I'm going to allow you to eat. Now, he had already separated the clean from the unclean. So even though it doesn't specify it, it's very clear that there were only two pigs, only two possums. So if they ate one, they wouldn't be, because he told them to be fruitful and multiply. So the point being made is Some were clean, some were unclean. And I didn't give you the right scriptures. It's Leviticus, not Numbers. Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 just gives you the specifications. It tells you if it's a fish, it must have fins and scales, okay? Scales and fins if it's a clean fish. If it's a clean cattle or beast, it would have a split hoof and it would chew the cud, okay? So that's how we know. And it says that in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. So, friends, we're talking about a health message here. It says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. Do you know that if you eat animal products, you were never supposed to eat any blood? All the blood was supposed to be drained out. You wouldn't like your chicken if all the blood was drained out before it cooked. You wouldn't like your fish if all the blood was drained out before it was cooked. So they, God allowed them to eat the clean animals, but not how we eat them, how people eat them today. They're not eating them the biblical way, and that's why there's so much disease in the world today. But watch this. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? God is allowing you to eat hamburgers, okay? Supposed to drain the blood out. But it said, your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. That means that if you shorten man's life, by man will your life be shortened. Well, that means if I shorten an animal's life, by that animal will my life be shortened. I'm going to back up because I know most of you missed that. It said, surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Well, what does that mean? The next verse says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So if that's what it means, that at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man, that when you shorten a man's life, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, that means if you shed the animal's life, by that animal will your life be required. That's why we are plant-based, brothers and sisters, because when we eat the animal's, the animals shorten our lives. God permits it, but they do shorten our lives. Now, it is also true that if an animal kills you, humans are going to shorten his life. And that's why we shouldn't be feeding the bears and stuff, because when they get used to humanity, and then they'll rush up on somebody just to get some food, and that person will scream, and it'll spook the bear, and the bear will maul them to death out of fear, and then we got to shoot the bear. Okay, so we're counseled not to, when I say counsel, you know, and that you go to the parks and things like, we're not supposed to feed those animals and get them used to human interaction because it will end up killing them because somebody will scream and holler and spook the bear, and the bear is going to instinctively assume it's in danger and it's going to attack. Okay, so the bottom line is, this is a verse that says when you eat animal flesh, by that flesh, your life will be shortened. And that is what has happened. They used to live almost 1,000 years back in the Bible days. We're doing good if we get to 70. My mother was blessed. She lived to be 92. I praise God for that. But brothers and sisters, there aren't too many, what are they called, centenarians, people that are 100 years of age. Yet Noah was 600 when it was started to rain, in the 600s, when it started to rain. We don't live long lives, really, when we are 100 years old. We're just babies compared to them. And so it just shows you how the world has been degraded by sin. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. You cannot do it if you're a woman married to a woman or sleeping with a woman. You cannot do it if you're a man sleeping with a man, brothers and sisters. Mankind is against nature. The Bible tells us in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers. I think it's 2 Timothy 3. of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. The affection, quote unquote, that people have for the same sex and all kind of other perverted concepts. Not of God. It's against nature. And just because you feel that way, that's the gospel. We surrender our feelings to the word of God. That's what the power of God helps us to do. And with every living creature that is with you, of fowl and of cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall any more there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So, brothers and sisters, covenants can have tokens, okay? So even when God gives his covenant, it can have a symbol that goes along with it. For example, circumcision was a token of the covenant. It was a symbol of that covenant because the male organ represented reproductive life, and God was going to give you a new life. So as a token of the covenant, mankind was to be circumcised. That's not required anymore. The Bible makes that clear. But there was a token of the covenant, okay? So God has a new covenant. And he still has tokens, like baptism is a token of a covenant. It's a symbol. It's just a symbol. There's no magic in the water. It's a symbol that I'm going into a watery grave. The old ways are passed away. I am coming up to walk in newness of life. I've learned some things I didn't know before. We're always learning, but if you've made major commitments that were salvific, meaning that I was doing some things that I could not be saved in so doing. I've been walking in a path, and now I'm walking in a different path. I am now obedient to all of God's commandments. Friends, you should give a public statement, but the public statement is just a symbol of the covenant. It's just a symbol to say, Lord, I want this symbol to let the world know I will follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. So the rainbow was a covenant, and after every rain, brothers and sisters, you see that red and yellow and green and blue. I don't know how God does it. I don't know the scientific phenomenon that makes it happen, but it happens. And you can see up in the clouds the bow of rain. The devil has perverted the rainbow, and it is now a symbol of homosexuality. I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it was homosexuality and other perversions that caused the flood. I want my rainbow back. I don't let them take away my rainbow. If I want to use a rainbow, I'll use a rainbow. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that that is a symbol that God gave, and it's been perverted. The rainbow was God's covenant that he would not destroy the earth again with water. But the earth will be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed by fire the second time, my friends. And he's going to destroy sin if we cling to it. We will be destroyed also. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, meaning he was a farmer, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of service shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Brothers and sisters, we don't know exactly what it meant that he saw his father's nakedness. It could have been just that he saw his father's nakedness. His father was also married, so I don't know if that meant, you know, him and his mother, but the bottom line is that was the beginning of pornography, okay? And so the two brothers put some garment, and they just went on the other side, each side of the bed, and walked backwards so that they dropped the garment so that they could cover up their father, possibly their father and their mother. The bottom line is God wants there to be righteousness and no perversion. He doesn't want our eyes to be wandering and looking where we ought not look. And the world makes it hard, and therefore you have to leave your house and you have to be really much in prayer, because there's just nakedness all around, brothers and sisters. But God is stronger than all of that. And if you decide that you want to follow Jesus, he will give you the strength. He might not take you out to the beaches and other places. That might not be when the sun is out and the people are half naked. You know, it's so amazing that if you walk into a house and a woman is in her bra and panty, I'm just going to be real, if she's in her bra and panty, she will run. If she just happened to get caught in the living room and didn't know you were coming or whatever, she's going to run and excuse herself, assuming you're not a burglar or anything like that, but you're supposed to be there, and she just forgot you were coming or whatever and was out there like that, maybe forgot to stir something in the pot, whatever. She would run. She would be embarrassed, and she would run back to the room in a bra and panties. And yet on the beach, they just lay out there showing more than would be shown in a bra and panty, and they are not embarrassed. What's wrong with that picture, brothers and sisters? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, we're crazy. We're mixed up in the mind. We would feel okay in a bikini, but in a bra and panties, we would be embarrassed. And the bikini shows more than the bra and panties. You see, when you are in Christ, your life is consistent, friends. And there's so much going on in the world today, but we have to follow Christ, and we can follow Christ. I just want to share some of these concepts to make you think, because we have to be righteous in this world today. May God bless you and keep you, my friends, cause his face to shine upon you. It is about 1 minute from the top of the hour. Let's pray. Father, be with us now. We thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for teaching us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, before our closing song, we'd like to give our final salutation. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord.